I'm a park ranger and I dig danger. Dream of it night and day.
He sure does. He is our supreme leader, the producer of this wonderful program. His name is Jonathan Winters, a retired former, no longer with Algonquin Park. He was the boss there.
Yes.
Now he's the boss here. Good morning, boss. How are you?
Doing real well. How are you doing?
That was good. That was good. What a last-minute sub you made there with Summers.
He had a very strong second shift. His first shift wasn't very good.
But that's all right. You have to look at the whole package, right? The body of work.
He said he was right beside Chris Whaley. Does that mean that he has handcuffs on, or
maybe I never asked him.
By the way, I did try for the big Trudeau.
Yes.
But he isn't going to debate you if he won't debate the leaders.
There you go. See, so he's afraid of me, is what you're saying.
I think what would happen is they do their homework, and when they find out that there's a disclaimer where the fan says we don't have anything to do with this program or what they think, and don't call us, call them.
We'll call.
And he probably said, no, I'm not going to debate with him. He's like Howard Stern.
There you go, and who would blame him? Sit tight, my friend. We got to take a quick break, pay for some of this stuff that we do here every week on Outdoor Journal. So more program to come. Don't you dare go away.
I'm a park ranger, and I dig danger. Dream of it night and day.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590, The Phantom, Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis at your beck and call. Guiding you, shepherding you through the outdoors this wonderful weekend. And the head shepherd himself on the line with us, the producer of the show, Jonathan Winters. All right, Johnny, you're up to bat, buddy. No, it's your turn. You just jumped over the boards.
Oh
boy. You there, John?
I'm here.
All right, you're up.
I have a suggestion for Pete Bowman.
Oh, all
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
So he's probably going to go to the B1, is he?
No, he's not.
He's not? I had a partner for him.
Oh, did you? Who?
August 24th. Remember you did the interview with Austin Levan, who won the Great Ontario Salmon Derby?
Yes.
So you remember that fish that he said they just boated?
Yes.
That was worth $2,000.
He did. He ended up winning with that, right?
He won the Islander shootout. Like, this guy's smoking hot. Pete's got to sign him up and take him down there. Like, they'll clean house. This guy kills fish.
I hear that for sure. I didn't realize he had won the shootout as well. Wow, good for him.
They're going to have to tone him down, or he'll clean up everything next year.
When you're on, you're on. Eh? When you're hot, it's like anything else. You get in these grooves, you know.
And one of the other
of
winners, I thought this is quite interesting. They came second in the charter boat category. So,
oh really?
I like the name of this charter: Home Wrecker Charters. Home Wrecker Charters.
They could all be called that. Yeah.
Anyway, that was a good event, and boy. Austin, he was charmed, I'll tell you.
He took home a big booty, I'll tell you that right now. All he had to do was participate in the Great Ontario Salmon Derby, and it paid off for him. This goes straight. A lot of guys are waiting for next year to start already.
Exactly.
What do you got? What do you got for me special today?
Real quick, white-tailed deer. You know.
Yeah, I saw those pictures, by the way. Fantastic shots.
Yeah, right from the deck. And the fawns are curious, and Mom's stamping her feet, and she's trying to get them to come back from the front of the house. And we're sitting right out there looking straight at them, and they come up about halfway down the yard, and then they stand there. They look at her. They look at us. They want to come forward. They're just so curious, right? But these are late-born fawns, and this is something that I haven't seen in our area before. I mean, I know what happens. So Mom probably missed the first breeding cycle and was into at least her second estrus. So these fawns, which would be born 200 days or thereabouts after she's bred, are really, really small. Really small. And I had never seen that before.
Now, what are their chances?
Just slightly, these are slightly bigger than a small dog. The spots are still there, and they're going to have a go this winter, I'll tell you.
I was going to say, what are their chances of making it through through the winter?
Well, of course, the first issue up in this part of the world isn't coyotes and wolves, it's cars. But if they get through that, if we get any amount of snow and a long, cold winter, they'll have a tough time, and the mortality on those circumstances is generally fairly high. But that's nature. That's the way it is.
Yeah. And you know, and if we want to talk about, want to wrap climate change in there and global warming, if in fact that is a case here, obviously that's going to happen with more frequency. You're going to see more and more of this taking place as the seasons change.
We're going to see a shift in wildlife habitat. It's going to favor some species and not others, and we've got a story that we're going to bring to the table, and it has to do with polar bears and grizzly bears. They're now sharing territories.
Ooh, never heard that before. That'll be interesting.
We'll get that one on the air, and I just want to make one last comment, and then I'm going to let you go, and that is the hummingbirds are on the move. The males have left. The females and the chicks are getting ready to go. So you can take down your feeder mid-September. It's time for them to head south.
Now, how the hell do you know this?
He talks them.
Oh, he talks. Oh, he's the hummingbird whisperer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm intrigued by them, and I truly believe that one of the great ways to get kids interested in the outdoors is put up a hummingbird feeder. We've got a little boy next door who's 4 years of age, and he'll come over and watch them for an hour. And he asks all kinds of questions, great questions. How come they fight with each other? How come they fly so fast? He's really small. He's really small. So, you know, they learn a lot from all of this, and it's great to get them interested early. They're really intriguing. They're an interesting bird to watch, and we love them. It's great.
Well, good. I'm glad you have the time to do that. That's the beauty of it. Now, did you do any of this hummingbird watching when you were the super at Algonquin?
Back in those days, I was too damn busy. So, you know, I'm enjoying the fruits of my labor, let's put it that way. And I'm going to let you go before you get another shot off the bow.
Quick question for you, speaking about the park. When can we expect things to start lighting up there in terms of the fall business, the fall of colors and stuff?
Well, I don't do that anymore. If you were paying attention to the interview last week, Sean Kelly's going to be giving us our weekly updates on fall colors. He's an expert.
That doesn't mean I can't talk to you about it.
Well, I am going to predict right now it will be September the 28th, peak fall color in Algonquin Park.
And let's remind folks that it has nothing to do with the temperatures. It's more of a light thing, so you can pretty much predict. That's why, you know, I mean, you sound like a genius right now, but I'm on to you. Okay, I know now. I know. All right, it's all about the amount of light. It's photosynthesis. I know this stuff. I've learned. I've been listening.
Yeah, okay? And it only took you about 7 years to catch on, but that's okay. Anyway, you guys have a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to Sean Kelly's explanation of what's going on in MacTier and Thornbury and all around.
All right.
Okay?
All right. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too.
John Winters, former park superintendent in Algonquin Park, the park. He was the boss.
The big one.
The definitive boss. And now, here he is. Who would have thunk it?
Talking to birds and talking to us.
Who would have thunk it?